We're continuing in the dinum of buses a little bit over here, or I guess very little bit, but we're continuing in the dinum of buses. So we learned in Shulchan Aruch that if you forgot a muktz item on top of a non-muktz item, right? If it was shachach, the Gemara said that if it was shachach, then you're on the dinum of buses. Buses is maniach, if you put something there purposely, and the reason is because when you intentionally put a muktz item on non-muktz buses, it indicates that you want that buses to be a buses to the muktz, to be mishamish the muktz. So in that case, the buses becomes tafel to the muktz, and is properly considered a buses. But you just forgot muktz there, so then you don't say that the buses is tafel to the muktz. What's not clear though is how to be magdir, what's called shachach. I mean, the Gemara makes the chilek. The question is, how are you magdir? What's called shacheach in this context? For example, if let's say you deliberately put your wallet down on the coffee table when you sit on the couch, because let's say you have your phone in your pocket, and when you sit down, it's uncomfortable for it to be in your pocket, so you put it down on the coffee table, and now it's sitting there on the coffee table while you're sitting on the couch. You never planned to leave it there for the entire Shabbos. The intention was to clean up before Shabbos and to put it away before Shabbos, but you fell asleep on the couch, you wake up, oh no, it's 20 minutes to Shabbos, you jump in the shower, you get ready, blah, 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 and then the phone is left on the table when Shabbos starts. So is the table now a basis l'davar asur because it was a basis for the wallet, for the phone? Is it now a basis l'davar asur? So one might argue, yes, maniach. It wasn't shachach, it was maniach. You put it there, and you put it there purposely. And you dafka put it there and not on the floor, not somewhere else, because you wanted it accessible, you wanted it dafka in that space. You wanted it to be safe, you wanted it to be accessible. On the other end, you could say, no, but you never planned on having it there on Shabbos. It was only there on Shabbos because it was shachach. So Mishabura and Sivkatan Yudches, Mishabura and Shinta Sivkatan Yudches, Mishabura writes, Aval minicham bekavana b'chol, v'lo ha'yadaito b'feiru sheyishu sham b'shabbos, v'achar kach shcheichem sham, mikri shocheach. That's called shocheach if you never intended to leave it there for Shabbos. Mishabura is explicit about that. Mishabura importantly adds, though, he writes, v'nei be'ikr din bosses masik b'magin avram d'lomikri bosses alim k'ni niach lov davra muktza b'shvil she'yis yashiv alav b'tov. He says something is only a bosses if you put it on that spot so that it could be safely on that spot, meaning that is the best place to set it down. You specifically chose the buses because that buses is the best support or the best holder for the item that you're putting down. But if you just stuff a bunch of things into a drawer and you have no idea of what's going on top of what, you're not putting something on top of something else because you're trying to put it on top of something else. It's just because you're not neat and you're not organized, so you don't have, you know, a sectional thing inside the drawer to separate things out. So you're just throwing things in. That's called shochech. But you weren't shochech. You put it there on purpose. Yeah, but you aren't putting it there purposely. I mean, you aren't putting it there with a purpose. You aren't doing a purposeful action of placing this item on top of that item. And therefore, the item does not become a basis. I saw in the side of the, we'll leave out the deer shoe for now. So that's what he says. So then the Mishabur writes, here's where Ulufi ze mashanogin b'shabbos lahasira mapa eliona me'al shulchan acha shemeser eli yudi aminor me'al. Happens all the time. You have a tablecloth. Someone spills on the tablecloth on Friday night. But you also have the leichter is on the table, right? That's really the ideal place for it. In many homes, they don't keep it on the table just because of the danger of a sakana, especially when there are young children. Remember last time I had in my notes that the ideal place is on the table, and I wrote in parentheses that although I personally don't keep it on the table, it's only because we have very young children at home, and therefore we're worried about sakana. We never changed it. We should probably change it back. I mean, it's still off to the side. We should probably put it on the table. That's where it belongs, on the Shabbos table. It's the ideal place to put Shabbos candles. So, but someone spilled on the tablecloth. So, how are you going to get the tablecloth off of the table? So, let's say you have a Nachri that's willing to move the tray with the Leichter. So, good. So, the Nachri will move it out of the way. Good. So, that's fine. But is the tablecloth a basis? So, says the Mishnah Berurah, no. He says the tablecloth is not a basis. Kedino sin, it's fine. Levishain tzorich shetei amenorah dafka ala mapa ala l'shulchan. Because you're not interested in having the Leichter on the tablecloth. You're only interested in having it on the table. And the only reason you have it on the tablecloth is because tablecloths don't come with a cutout that's the perfect size of your leichter. If they did, then that would be even better. And therefore, it's considered to be haphazard. It's not considered to be a purposeful placing of the leichter on the tablecloth. And therefore, the tablecloth does not become a basis. Interestingly, in the Dirshu, he quotes a Tshuva Sigrus Moshe, Archaim Chel Dal Simnayin Gimel, who says that what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about is not what I just described. He's not talking about just a tablecloth. What he's describing is that they used to have a tablecloth, and then they put all the dishes and the challahs and everything on top of the tablecloth, and the leichter and everything on top of the tablecloth. And then they would spread over the table, but under the leichter, they would spread another mappa. Another mappa. Poris mappa umekadesh, right? That was the mappa kind of, right? They would just have one big cloth over the whole shulchan. They didn't have challah covers. They had shulchan covers, right? That's what Kiddush Makom Suda was, as soon as they said Kiddush, and then they would reveal the shulchan. They would pull off the, but the problem is, if there's a leichter on top of it, can you get rid of that shulchan cover? That's what the Rav Moshe says it's talking about, not the tablecloth. I mean, they had a tablecloth also, but that they would never remove. They would only remove the mappa that was on top. So, one second. So, the Mishnah Berurah points out that from the Taz, that even if you put something there because there's no space elsewhere, the Taz holds it will still be a basis. But it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah paskins, not like that Taz, like the Magen Avraham against Taz. We always paskin like the Magen Avraham against the Taz. So Ben Ishchai points out that sometimes you put items on top, not because the bottom items are needed to support it, nor is it really haphazard, but there's a third category. Sometimes you put an item on top because you know you can use that item more frequently than you'll use other items. So it's not that you need the bottom item to support the top item, it's just that for easier access, you put a different item on top. So really there are three categories over here. When you dafka put your muktzah item on top of this table, because this table is the best place for me to keep my muktzah, so then great, then this table is a basis. When I just throw a bunch of things together and I'm not even paying attention to what's on top of what, it's just that I'm a slob and I just throw everything into the box and there's no way to organize it or whatever. Like if you have one of those freezers like we have in our house where, you know, it pulls out right from the bottom. So have you ever seen a freezer like that organized? Organized people don't buy freezers like that. They buy side by side, right? Meaning you just throw everything in and everything is on top of each other. So it's not, I'm trying to put this on top of that. I'm just throwing everything in. So, or a junk drawer. Everyone in their kitchen has a junk drawer. What's in the junk? You put the pencil on top of this? No, everything just gets thrown in. That's why it's just a bunch of junk. So the items that things are on top of do not become a basis in that case. But then you have this third category, says the Ben Ishchai, where let's say I have that freezer, but I know that I really love to eat ice cream. How often, or let's say, I really love to eat salmon. So I have salmon. Well, let's say I don't really love to eat salmon. My chilazons really love to eat salmon. I got to feed them every week. I'm supposed to feed them every week, even though there's one that didn't eat for 6 months and he's still alive. But there's, I thought he was dead, so I didn't feed him. But then he's like, hey, what about me? So then I threw in some food. So I need access to my raw salmon. Now, raw salmon is muktzah. So, but I need access to my raw salmon, so I keep the raw salmon on the top. And what's underneath it? What's underneath it is the stuff that we're going to throw out Erev Pesach, right? Meaning all the stuff, I don't even know what's there. It's just wrapped in foil. We're never going to know. On Erev Pesach, we're going to clean it out and we're going to throw it out. So what, I'm putting the salmon dafka on top of the stuff that I'm going to throw out on Erev Pesach? And it's not dafka. It's not haphazard either. I need the salmon on top because I want to have access to it. So that's what Ben Ishchai discusses. And he thinks that that's enough to make it a basis. he thinks that's enough to make it a basis. So if you have raw fish on top of a frozen challah, because you want the raw fish to be more accessible to you, then he thinks that the frozen challah might become a basis.
Going back to the chunk drawer case, so we're only saying that if you have an usher item that's on top of a mutter item, and the mutter item wouldn't be a basis. The whole drawer itself would be a basis.
The drawer would be a basis. And if there are mutter items in the drawer as well that are of equal or better value, then it will be basis davar asur, davar mutter. But in economy, it's primarily for davar asur, it would be basis davar asur. For the junk drawer, you don't keep anything valuable. You just have, you don't keep any muktzah items that are valuable. It's like a pen that the cap is missing, and it's a couple of pennies or whatever. And the non-muktzah items that you keep there are, I don't know what non-muktzah items you keep on.
Like most of the stuff in there.
Most of the stuff probably looks like, yes, and the drawers for the passage. Yeah.
For the Rav Moshe's of Kimta and the Mishnah Berurah, so does that mean the actual tablecloth itself, the mutter, is going to be buses or not?
Right, so it's not so pashut. In fact, some of the Achronim point out, what do you mean you don't want the leichter on the tablecloth? Of course you do. That's how the table looks nice. I mean, you dafka want it on top of the tablecloth. You would not, if you come home, if I would come home to my wife and say, I got the greatest thing, it's a new tablecloth, she'd say, oh, it's so beautiful. No, you haven't seen. Unfold it. And then, like, I peek through the hole. she'd be like, well, what is that? That's not okay. It's not going to look as nice. It's not going to, meaning you want it to be on top of the tablecloth. So it's not so pashut. Meaning, based on Rav Moshe's explanation of the Mishnah Berurah, it's not so pashut that the tablecloth does not become a basis. I thought Misvara L'Charet should become a basis. Just one second, Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted Shmir Shabbos that even if you put a muktzah item on a non-muktzah base with the intent that it remains there for the entire Shabbos, and before Shabbos you change your mind and you plan to remove it, but then you forgot to, that's also considered shachach. Meaning, going back to that discussion, right? We said, what is shachach? So we said shachach doesn't only mean that you didn't put it there intently. You could have put it there intentionally, and you just forgot to get rid of it. Or it could also be that you put it there intentionally and you wanted it to stay there the entire Shabbos, and then 10 minutes before Shabbos you notice that it's there and you're like, oh, got to clean that up. I decide I want to clean that up. And then you get distracted and you don't. So that would also be considered shachach.
Based on the
Rebbe
Shabbos says that I can be Rebbe yesterday had a problem with the Gemara and Kufman Beis with the Evan and the Chavis.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to imagine a case where you have like a really nice rock and you want everyone to see this rock and you put it down on the Chavis because they can put your house and then the Chavis being the Shabbos?
Yeah, I guess I just don't know what a really nice rock is that I would want to show off to other people. But yeah, that's what you have to say is going on in that Gemara.
Like my neighbor brought home a rock from the Golan in Israel and displayed it in front of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's all about our life experiences, right? I never saw a really nice rock. You have, to, right? So you're able to relate to it because you've seen a really nice rock.
Like
yeah, in a Hanami. In a Hanami, exactly.
In the other context, the Mishnah Berurah mentions that Yichud Das, this La Milsa, like to designate something La Milsa, is not something of substance. So why in that case would it be enough? Say, I wanted to have cleaned it up, but I didn't end up doing it.
Because that's called shachach. Meaning, it was not there purposely. Meaning, that's the chiddush of Shlomo Zalman. Even though when I placed it there, it was placed there purposely. As of ben hashmashos, my attitude toward the buses was that it's not a buses. Right. So that's apparently enough. Yeah.
How much of this is like subjective? If someone showed me a rock, I'd be.
It's all subjective. I think all of it is subjective, right? We'll talk about that when we get to value. Meaning, what's more valuable, basis davar asur, davar mutter, and what's considered more valuable? Is my challah really more valuable than my leichter? Is my, you know, like all of those things. So we mentioned back in Shinches that there's such a thing as a basis davar asur, davar mutter. We're going to get back to that Be'ez Hashem also. But what about that as far as shachach is concerned? Meaning, let's say, I put a muktzah item on top of a non-muktzah item intentionally, and I want to leave it there for the entire Shabbos. I put a flame on top of my leichter on purpose. I dafka lit the flame on my Shabbos table. That's my Shabbos candles. My plan was to also put a diamond ring there, or to also put a challah there, or whatever, to make it a basel davar asel davar mutter. But then I forgot to add the davar mutter. So is that also called shachach? that I put this here purposely. I wanted it to be here, but I didn't want this to become a basis. I wanted to add a davar mutar, so I never intended for this to be a basis. Is it? Do we view shachach and maniach vis-a-vis the item that I'm placing, or do you view shachach and maniach vis-a-vis the basis itself? So this is a discussion in Poskim. Shlomo Zalman is quoting Shmir Shabbos Kilchos said that logically you should still be allowed to move the tray or the table because you never intended for the tray to just be a basis davar aser, and should therefore be considered the same as forgetting shachach, which isn't a basis. So since you didn't want the base to serve as a basis, so you wanted it to serve as a basis davar aser ula davar amutar, so you didn't want it to become a muktzah basis, so it doesn't become a basis. Shlomo Zalman then says tzarchim. Rav Moshe in Orachaim Chel Gimel Simen Nun Aleph was asked the same question as Rav Shlomo Zalman, but in his case, the questioner suggested that maybe the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam is nogeya over here, because Rabbeinu Tam holds that your kavana to remove the muktzah item during Shabbos is enough to prevent turning the object into a basis. Right? I mean, according to Rabbeinu Tam, when I put my phone purposely here, but I didn't plan on having it there the entire Shabbos, I planned on having the Nachri, who's going to come clean up, move it on Shabbos, that's enough to stop it from becoming a basis. So maybe, even if I do plan on leaving it there the entire Shabbos, but my intention to add a non-muksa item to the tray before Shabbos also would suffice to prevent making the non-muksa item as a basis, making the non-muksa tray, let's say it's a leichter with a tray that I wanted to put a diamond ring on, making that prevent it from becoming a basis. Meaning, just like your intention to have the muksa removed on Shabbos would prevent the base from becoming a basis, according to Rabbeinu Tam, so too the intention to add a non-muksa object to the base should prevent the base from becoming a basis. So Ramesha says nothing different. He rejects such a svara. Ramesha writes, Nira de lo dami klav. Dibidaita litlo misham. When you plan on removing the muktzah item at some point during Shabbos, lo asu basis klav. You just didn't make the table into a basis. You didn't make the tray into a basis. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, the basis l'ditu, who rakshen nichu l'kala Shabbos. The definition of basis, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is that you intentionally put it there for the entire Shabbos. Because shenichu l'kala Shabbos, shenaz habasa, rakshay yibadayt, l'niyat kam, I'm sorry, aval, shenichu l'kala Shabbos, shenaz habasis. But if you dafka put something there for the entire Shabbos, and you are making it a basis, rakshay yibadayt, l'nichu sham, gam heter, it's just that you also planned on putting heter there as well. So there's a fundamental difference between something that is not a basis at all versus something that's a basis davar asul davar mutter. He says shame basis applies to something that's a basis davar asul davar mutter. It's still a basis. It just happens to be it's a basis with a heter. It's a basis that you're allowed to that you have a heter to move. When, according to Rabbeinu Tam, when you put something on a table and your intention is that it should not remain on the table the entire Shabbos, that table was never a basis. It never had a shame basis to begin with, and therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, as long as you didn't have intention to put it there the entire Shabbos, don't worry, you're going to be allowed to move the table because the table's not a basis. Whereas when you put a muksa item on a table, planning on leaving it there the entire Shabbos, that gives the table a shame basis. Elamai, it could have had a heter if you also would have put a diamond ring there. But you didn't put a diamond ring there, so you don't have that heter. So, but it certainly has the shame basis. That is the shita of Rav Moshe against Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Yeah. Right. Well, we'll get to Ben Hashmashos, or as long as the Yisr is there, we'll talk about that.
I guess you could do just Ben Hashmashos for the candles. Yeah.
Right, the candles will be out by then, and then you could. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how long. So the Shaila then becomes, according to Ben Tam, meaning, okay, so that's one time. So again, so far we discussed what's the gather of Shachar. Right, so as far as the discussion of the gather of shachach, we said shachach doesn't have to mean that it just like fell out of your pocket and you left it there. It could even mean that you intentionally put it there, but you forgot to clean it up. right? And we said that it could even mean that you intentionally put it there, and then you decided you want to clean it up, and then forgot to clean it up. And then we had three categories as far as how purposeful your placing of it has to be. If it's very purposeful, it's a buses. If it's not purposeful at all, it's just totally haphazard, it's not a buses. And if it's somewhere in between, that you're putting it there because you want easier access, so Ben Ishchai thought that's enough to make it a buses. And then we discussed this machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe. What if you forgot to put a dover heter that you intended on putting together with the Dvar Yisr? That the Dvar Yisr was placed there purposely to last the entire Shabbos, but you were also planning on putting a diamond ring there. And then you forgot to put the diamond ring there, where Shlomo Zalman says, that's fine, that's called shachach. That's the same as forgetting as shachach on the item itself, because you never planned to make your table of buses. Whereas Rav Moshe says, yes, you did. Of course you planned to make your table of buses, because the buses davar asul davar mutar is also buses. It has a shame buses. It's just that you never followed through on having the heter for your buses. Good. So that's part one about shachach. Now here's the question: a leichter be serving as a buses. Yeah, that's like the classic example. Whenever you're any sure about a buses, whenever you have any discussion posting about a buses, it's always about the tray and the candlesticks. It's always the buses. It's the buses to the flame. According to Rabbeinu Tam, is that really a buses? According to Rabbeinu Tam, is that a buses? Rabbeinu Tam holds that a buses is only when you plan on having the muksa there for the entire Shabbos. Right? Your candles, I was at a simcha recently, the candles are so tall, and it was we were at the meal for like 3 hours already. And someone noticed that they barely even budge, and they're like, I hope we don't have to wait till the candles go all the way. But the most candles, they'll be out in a couple of hours, right? They sell the candles we use for my wife's, like I said, you could buy 3-hour candles, 4-hour candles, 5-hour candles. Okay, so let's say you buy the 5-hour candle, but it's going to be out. It's not going to last the entire Shabbos. You don't light a bunch of Yahrzeit candles on the Shabbos candles. So lechora, it would seem that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Taz in Reish Ayin Tesef Kut Beis writes, according to Rabbeinu Tam, candlesticks and the candelabra never become a bas davar asur, because the muksa, which is the flame, is going to be extinguished at some point during Shabbos. Therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you're always allowed to move the candelabra l'tzorach gufo mekomo after the flame went out, because it never became a basis. However, meaning the light to itself is a klishon makshuliyasir, so it needs to be tzorach gufo mekomo. But it's not a basis to the flame, which is muksamach maskufo, so it doesn't become muksamach maskufo according to Rabbeinu Tam. And we said you're allowed to rely on Rabbeinu Tam b'shas adchak. So if you understand Rabbeinu Tam, the Taz is just putting two and two together, right? L'chora, it's not going to be a basis. However, the Bir Halacha in Siman Reish Ayin Tes, in Dibur Maskil Afilu, the Bir Halacha writes, V'afilu da sefer ha-truma, muv b'sim shin tes evdal, v'nir maniach, ebn al p'yachavis, t'sfirulei, the buses lavi elam came daito she yishar came kol a shabbos v'ha'cha lo aner omeli kavos im kein alo lo nasa samnor klal bus lo aner. Right, the Bir Halacha raises this kasha that shouldn't we say that according to Rabbeinu Tam a ner is never a buses mikomakom ha'cha adifa to who I read b'daito l'sale ki isr me'al ha'buses b'shabbos u'lekach lo nisbat al ha'buses l'gaba. When we go to Skatzoy v'chule, makes a strange chilek, right? Or I don't know, chilek I probably wouldn't have thought of, where he says that when the Rabbeinu Tam says you don't plan on leaving it there for the entire Shabbos, that means you plan on actively removing it, or having a nachri actively remove it. So then the table's not going to be a basis. If I put the phone down on the table intending that the nachri is going to come and he's going to actively remove my phone from the table, so then it's not going to become a basis. But when I have no plans of actively removing it, I just have the knowledge that it will disappear, then it's still going to be a basis. A candle, I have no plan of actively removing, it's just going to disappear, so then it's going to be a basis. That's how the Bir Halacha rejects this. And therefore, even if we rely on Rabbeinu Tam b'shas adchak, you would still not be allowed to move the leichter, because even Rabbeinu Tam would say that it is a basis.
Isn't this still saying that in the case of Rabbeinu Tam, you're planning on removing the item, but in this case, you're not removing the item at all, it's just going down from Muksa Machas Gufo to Klishon Lachol Isser?
No.
That's what you're saying.
No.
What was the original suggestion? That
no, the Aish is the Muksa Machmas Gufo.
Candlesticks aren't
Muksa? The candlesticks are Klisha Machmas the whole time.
Right, so
but there are buses to...
meaning
is it a buses or is it not a buses?
That's a Klisha Machmas
Gufo. It's Klisha Machmas Gufo anyway.
But I thought the point is that Klisha Machmas Gufo makes them do the buses?
If you have a klishim lachtel the iser, it would make it a buses, but only to the level of klishim lachtel the iser.
Right. So I thought his point was saying that in the case of the candlesticks, you're not removing the fire of the gamer, you're just moving it a level down from mutzimachas gufo to klishim lachtel the iser. But in the case of a nachri plans are taking it away, so it's taking.
Is that what he says?
Much of that's going to happen to me, Eva.
And he doesn't say those words. How do you see that over here? No? Reisha Ayin Tes.
Otherwise, what's the question?
I, what do you mean, what's the question?
I'm saying these things are no longer muksa. So
no, I mean, it's. The question. For sure, candlesticks are a klisha makhlisa. They'll always be a klisha makhlisa. But you're allowed to move a klisha makhlisa, let's start a kufa makhlisa. So his question is, am I allowed to move them? Or did they become a buses? So he wanted it. So the Taz wanted to say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, they can't become a buses because the flame was never supposed to be there for the entire Shabbos. So Bir Alach is saying, I disagree. I think according to Rabbeinu Tam, you only need the flame to have to be there for the entire Shabbos. Meaning, we only say that it's not going to be a buses if you plan on removing a muksa item before Shabbos is over. But if you don't plan on removing it, you just know that it's not going to be there, mimela it's not going to be there, then it would lose the shei buses. I don't see the chiluk that you're saying in the Bir Alach. Look carefully again, maybe I'm wrong, but look carefully again. Reisha Ayin Tes, Tivra Maschel, Filut Tzarek Lusha. Mishabru in Sivkat Nilches says that B'shas HaTzorech, in the name of Magen Avraham, B'shas HaTzorech, something only becomes a buses if you specifically want the muksa item to rest on it. If you just happen to place a muksa item, then it's hanach about Christ, that's haphazard. So we already discussed that, right? Okay, I don't know why that's again in my notes. Now, what if... I don't know why I'm out of order over here. I guess I did a bad job editing my notes over here. But going back to Shkoyach for a second, what if you accidentally... What if you mindlessly put something down somewhere, but that's where it belongs? Meaning, does maniach mean that you have to have been focused? So Mishabura says that if the location where the muksa item was placed is designated for that muksa item, then it becomes a basis, even if you did it mindlessly. And the reason that is based on the svara of basis, that the base is only given the status of a basis when you intend for it to service the muksa. So this base is its designated location. So it's as if you had intention to specifically put the object there, and the base therefore becomes tafel to the muksa. So if, let's say, you put a few coins in a drawer, the drawer doesn't become a basis because you wouldn't want to lose usage of that drawer for a few coins. A few coins have no value, they have no chashivos. But if one of your drawers is specifically designated for throwing in loose change, then the drawer does become a basis because that is its functionality, is to be able to handle those coins. Good, okay. Now, one last topic for today. Placing a muksa item without permission, or maybe we'll start this topic, we'll see how far we get. Meaning, if I put something down on, this is sort of on the most of davar sheino shelo. I gave the example yesterday. I put I have a wad of cash and I want to put it down somewhere, so I decide to put it on my wife's pillow because it's a nice, safe, soft landing spot for my cash. So now I've asked her pillow. Her pillow becomes a basis. Am I allowed to do that? Do I have the capacity to do that? So the Ramah in Siftala tells us that something can only become buses if the thing placed on top of it is with the knowledge and consent of the owner of the buses. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Chavzayin says that the owner doesn't actually have to know that you're doing it, but it has to at least be to his benefit, that it's the kind of thing he would be okay with, and then it becomes a buses. So you put your friend's plate near his candles because you're worried that part of the candle might fall off and start a fire and burn his entire house down, and then part of the candle taka falls on the plate before Ben HaShemashos and remains there for the duration of Ben HaShemashos, the plate is a basis. Because you can rest assured, he'd be very happy to sacrifice his plate for the Shabbos in order to save his house from burning down. In Shulchan Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman, in Shin Tes, Sivkat Tes Zayin, adds that even if your friend comes home and tells you that he would have added challah to the plate to make it into a basa davra asr davra mutter, it's still a basa davra asr because he wasn't there at that moment. So and ultimately he was happy that he did this, meaning he was happy that his house didn't burn down. But if you put your wallet and car keys on your friend's coffee table without permission, and you intend to leave them there the entire Shabbos, the table doesn't become a basis, and you or your friend are allowed to tilt the wallet or the keys off the table and move the table, because in that case you had no permission. So what about husbands and wives? What if a wife deliberately places a muksa item on a table? Does the table become a basis? So Rabbi Yashiv is quoted in the Sefer Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos Chelek Beis Perek Chavei that he says V'nir D'yesh Chelek B'zeh. Your children have pillows, your spouse has a pillow. But I'm the man of the house and I own all the pillows in this house. Yeah, but it's not my pillow, it's my kid's pillow. Meaning, I give it to them for it to be theirs, for them to use it. I mean, maybe I am the bailam on it in terms of monetary ownership, or kolshkei the sifrei limud ukriya or mischakim. Right, my kid has a game of guess who. I haven't played guess who since I'm 11 years old, but the kid plays the game or whatever, plays whatever board game it is. So that's theirs. So says the other members of your household have the ability to asser your stuff as a basis? He says it depends. It could be that in dini mumminus all the stuff is yours, but that's not what basis is going to be. That's not going to be the gedder of whether they have the right to asser it as a basis. The gather is going to be whether the understanding is that this is theirs to use, or the understanding is that it's yours to use. So what about in the middle case? You know, the husband and wife use something equally. Can one of them turn it into a basis to asra for the other one? Meaning it's not the game of guess who that only the children play with, or the pillow that's on the child's bed that only the child uses. Nor is it something that only belongs to Tati. It's something that Mommy and Tati both use. So are you allowed to... Ima Abba? Whatever, it's not something, it's something that everybody uses. So in the Sefer Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos and the Shulchan Aruch in Yardei Shin Lamed Aleph that Shutfim can asser an object to one another because each one has the right to use all of it. So an object that's used equally by both the husband and the wife can be turned into a basis by both, even when it's at the expense of the other. When the Mishmur writes that you can turn that you can only make your friend's object a basis when it's to his benefit, that's only because you have zero rights to the object. But if you share ownership of the object, then you can make it a basis, and that's the Shita of the Aruch HaShabbos as well, and the Chut Shani as well. With regard to a child, the Sefer Menuchos Shabbos quoted by the Aruch HaShabbos says that he can't make anything his house into buses because he has no das whatsoever. But if he designate a special drawer for his or her personal use, then the drawer can become buses because that's your use of the drawer. You're using it by designating that for that child. Rav Vosner is quoted in the Kovetz Mibeis Levi that a boy in yeshiva, in a dormitory, has the right to make his bed into a basis because the yeshiva designates that for his use. But he's not allowed to make a shtender into a basis because the shtenders are meant for communal use. And the Ramah paskens, you can't make something that doesn't belong to you into a basis. The difference between the two cases is where everyone can use it but no one can forbid it. And the case where your wife, of your wife, where both of you can use it and either one of you can ask for it, is that with regard to your wife, she has free reign to do as she likes with the items at home, whereas in the yeshiva, people don't have free reign to do whatever they want. When you buy something for both of you, you allow her to use it as she wishes, and she allows you to use it as you wish, even if that means that it's going to ask her one and the other. But in the case of the yeshiva, the administration gives everyone equal use of the item, only if it doesn't come at the expense of the other students. Meaning that's the chilik between the case of the shtender and the Beis Medrash, where the yeshiva wants to be able to clean up the Beis Medrash. The yeshiva does not want one person to asser the shtenders in the Beis Medrash. Whereas when it comes to something that's owned jointly by you and your wife, you know, in your own home. So even if it means that it's going to be inconvenient for you, you meant it to be shared by both of you. So, Lemaisa, we've gone through a number of qualifications of what it takes to make a basis. That it has to be put there intentionally. It has to service the muktzah, be mishamish the muktzah. The muktzah has to have some chashivos. The muktzah has to have been placed there with the intention of being there the entire ben hashmash, so according to our ben tam, the entire Shabbos. The muktzah has to have been placed there with the permission of the owner. There's still a couple more things that we did not, a couple more qualifications that we did not discuss. And that is bas l'davar as l'davar mutter. And the fact that the muktzah needs to be placed on the main part of the kli. So Bez Hashem, not next week, because next week we're not going to have shir, but the week after, we'll try to finish up that last topic in buses, and then we'll move on to other Gishmak Levedik topics. A good Shabbos, a good Yantav, everybody. Stay tuned to your WhatsApps for important shir announcements.